So we're coming to the end of the Canons of Dort. We've been working our way through. We're one more week, and we'll have completed covering this great document that was written 400 years ago. We've been celebrating the 400th anniversary of the Canons. And we already looked at positively what the Bible teaches concerning grace and the work of the Spirit in our lives, and in particular, the fruit of that, which is perseverance. And so now we are again looking at the errors that were brought before the Synod, requesting to be able to teach these things. So the teaching that we see in this paragraph and is being confronted is an old objection of divine election and salvation. In other words, this rejection or this statement is, this doctrine of perseverance makes men careless and profane. These charges were laid at the feet of Luther when he talked about we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, by grace alone. This charge came against the reformers. In other words, they say that believing in justification, believing in sanctification and all the perseverance of the saints is an immoral doctrine. It is wickedness. It is violation of God's law. It leads necessarily and inevitably to carelessness and wickedness. That word there, indolence, literally, it's a pillow for the flesh. That this doctrine of the perseverance of God for the saints is a pillow that allows you to just live your life. Basically, if it's grace, then let wickedness abound because I'm saved by grace and I'll persevere by grace. That is what the charge is that is brought. And notice the charge says it's injurious to godliness, good morals, prayers, and other holy exercises. And notice the statement. It is praiseworthy to doubt. I don't know about you, but that statement shocks me. The best thing you can be as a doubter is an unbeliever when it comes to the grace of God. That's what they wanted to teach. Doesn't that bother you? It doesn't. It should. Okay? We're called to be believers, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, to follow and walk in faith. And yet what they were teaching was, it is better to doubt the certainty of perseverance and of salvation than it is to believe in the grace of God. When it's said like that, it shakes me. I hope it shakes you. One author, Homer Hoeksema, in his small commentary on the Canons of Dort, for those of you that want to read it, said the following, and this actually comes from him. The Arminian taught that it is praiseworthy to doubt concerning the certainty of perseverance and salvation. One could say as well, it is praiseworthy to doubt concerning our perseverance and our salvation, for if you doubt concerning certainty, you have no more certainty at all, but only doubt. Isn't that an interesting statement? If you doubt in the certainty of God, all you've got is doubt. This was indeed the Arminian position. The Christian must be and must be kept in a continual state of doubt. And that doubt must be the spur, the whip, the threat that scares him into a godly and moral life, that compels him to pray and to engage in other holy exercises. Only when one continually doubts and remains uncertain of his final salvation will there be any true morality. Only when the longed-for prize is kept just beyond his grasp will the Christian keep on pursuing that prize and striving to attain to the goal. Hence, all assurance must be frowned upon, and instead, that Christian who always is in doubt is to be lauded as a spiritual healthy Christian. Such is the Arminian position. I mean, he's telling it like it is, and I have seen that kind of fruit in the lives of Arminians, of people that said, well, It's all about me and my choice, and so therefore I have to maintain my relationship because it's all about me and my choice. And there, and with that comes doubt. What will happen if at the last moment I doubt, I don't trust? What happens? There's great, great damage done there. Notice the response in our reading. These show that they do not know the power of divine grace. Their teaching was grace is just this thing that God gives and it's just sitting there and you just have to pick it up. It's all about you and you making, exercising the ability to pick up the grace of God and use it. No, the grace of God is God doing, right? The sovereign grace of God is God saving us when we could save ourselves. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, He saved us. So they have a wrong view of grace, what the Bible teaches. And notice also, they do not know the working of the Holy Spirit. They insult the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that He dwells with the believer. What does He do? According to them, He just sits around and waits for you to exercise your will, and then He does the things to help you out. He's passive if He doesn't do anything at all. And notice the contrary. What is the refutation? It's using the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. As we read, we know that if He shall be manifested, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. That's confidence. And everyone that has this hope set on Him purifies himself even as He is pure. So He's saying just the opposite. If we know and understand that we're saved by grace, then we want to say thank you. We want to live in a way that would be pleasing to the one who saved us. So just the opposite. The saints of the Old and New Testament are examples and reflect this truth. They pursued, and all you have to do is go read Hebrews chapter 11. It's not the hall of unbelief, it's the hall of faith. And it speaks not only of what they believed, but how they lived it out in their lives, how they persevered. So this particular doctrine, which to me is very easily refuted, is just turn to the Bible. Start reading what God has done through the life of Paul, through the life of Old Testament saints as well. Again, these teachings are with us today. These are not just historic things. We need to be aware of it and refute it. Amen.